Father, we're so thankful tonight, Lord, to be able to give into your kingdom. Lord, you see those that are on our prayer list tonight. God, we just pray tonight, Lord, in faith. Lord, we believe in you, Lord, for a miracle for those that are sick tonight, God, that you would strengthen them, Lord, and give healing. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise tonight. In Jesus' name, praise God. Y'all give to the Lord tonight. Praise God.
As for me and my house, for me. As for me and my house, we're gonna be free. As for me and my house, as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we're gonna be free. As for me and my house, as for me.
Chapter 1. I do want to say, Brother Griffith had asked me to announce, just to remember that prayer is on Saturday evenings here, family prayer, if you'd like to come on Saturday evenings. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and unto an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power unto the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, he said, you should greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, the Bible says it's worth greater, it's greater than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you, verse 9 says, are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Verse 5 again says that it's through faith that you and I are shielded by God's power. I want to preach tonight on simply, He is faithful. He is faithful. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word, your goodness, your mercy. God, thank you for this great church who's gathered together on a Wednesday evening. Help us, God, not to take for granted, God, every service you give us, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity tonight, God. Help us to take advantage of the moment. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. God bless you. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. You may be seated. Here some years ago, I'm not exactly sure the exact many of you, how many years it's been, but Aunt Sue, as I came to call her, which is my mother-in-law's sister, she gave me a book, which she did this quite often when she would either come visit us at our home when we lived in the Houston area, or if I'd come up here, she'd always either give me a book to read or something she was reading. And there was a particular book that she gave me, and to my knowledge, it's the only book she's ever done this in, that when I opened the book, I noticed that she had written a note in the front of the book. And in that note, she listed most of the verses I just read to you in 1 Peter. And then she wrote to me three phrases, each of which point towards the faithfulness of God. And with God's help tonight, I want to preach from each of the points she gave me in that book. And prayerfully, it'll be a strength to you, a strength to you. The first thing she wrote in the note to me was, "Rejoice, for He is faithful." Paul wrote about that word in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 when he said that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Now it's important to remember that Paul, when he wrote this particular letter, he didn't write it from a fancy hotel in the Caribbean, but he wrote it while in prison in Rome. He had been wrongfully arrested for some time. He had shipwrecked on the way to prison. And on his way to prison, he had been bitten by a snake. And now he's been left under house arrest for 2 years. This man, Paul, had, no doubt you would agree, every reason to complain, yet he focused on rejoicing. So with that understanding, you have to know that the rejoicing that Paul is speaking of in Philippians 4 and 4 is not tied to the present circumstances that he found himself faced with, but rather it is tied to a deliberate spiritual choice. St. Augustine, who lived in the 4th and 5th century, he said regarding the word rejoice in Paul's rendering in Philippians 4, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord, not in the world." That is, rejoice in faithfulness and not in iniquity. Rejoice in the hope of eternity and not the brief flower of vanity. Rejoice, thus, for the Lord is very near. In the original Greek, the word Paul uses for rejoice is a word called chario, if I'm saying that right, and it has a much deeper meaning than just being happy. The word chario is directly related to the Greek word charius, which means grace. And that biblical meaning is to rejoice, is to be conscious of God's grace. It means that your soul is leaning toward God's favor rather than towards your problems. You aren't just happy at times because things are going well, this kind of rejoicing, but you are calmly happy, if you will, because you recognize that God's grace is active in your life even now in the midst of calamity.
In the Greek text, Paul uses a specific grammar form called the present imperative. And it isn't just a one-time cheer, but it literally translates to keep on rejoicing. Paul is commanding a habitual attitude. It's like telling a soldier that he needs to keep standing. It's a continuous action that doesn't stop just because the weather changes. Rejoice here in this context also is not just a private feeling, but when Paul said rejoice in the Lord, that word also means it is a shared joy in Christ that brings believers back together, even in the middle of conflict. You have to know that Paul, when he wrote this verse of scripture in Philippians 4:4, it wasn't just him trying to encourage himself, but Paul was actually dealing with division in the church. If you read two verses above, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul, he says this in Philippians 4:2. Now I appeal to you, Euodia, and I guess it's Cynthia, I don't know, Cynthia, no. He said, but please, he said, because you belong to the Lord, he said, settle your disagreement. He said, I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of the Lord. So when Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say, rejoice in the Lord, he wasn't just telling them to feel happy, but he was calling them back to a shared joy in the Lord. It was a joy that was strong enough to heal division. And what did they share? Paul told them, you are to rejoice in the Lord. So what's going to bring them back together? What's going to bring them back together there in Philippians chapter 4? Well, it was simply a shared focus on Christ and Him alone. I said it years ago, and I've said it many times since, but Brother T.F. Tenney, years ago, at a Because of the Times, he stood in the pulpit and he made that declaration of the Ark of the Covenant that was found in the Old Testament. He said, ladies and gentlemen, if you read in the Bible, you will always see that those cherubims on the Ark of the Covenant, the Bible never says that they saw eye to eye, but the Bible does say they faced the glory. And he made the comment, he said, when you and I come together, all of us may come in here with different backgrounds and difference of opinion. We may all see some things differently, but the main thing that matters to us is that when we get together, our eyes are focused on the glory. Our eyes are focused on a man named Jesus and the price he paid on a place called Calvary. And then Paul told him, you got to learn to rejoice in the Lord, not in your differences, not in your disagreements. Instead of I'm right and you're wrong, it's a shift from self to Christ. Within division lies pride, hurt, personal preference, but rejoicing in the Lord pulls you out of my side versus your side and into His will over all of us. Paul was basically telling these two ladies, you're fighting, but don't forget you're on the same team. You serve the same God, the same deliverer, the same healer. You have the same goals. So when you rejoice in the Lord, that's what creates unity. Amen. To rejoice in the Lord in this particular text, it also means stability, regardless of circumstance. Unlike happiness, which comes from the root word hap, meaning chance or luck, we are to rejoice in the Lord. You know, happiness deals with your outward circumstances. Happiness depends on what happens around you. That's why we call it happiness. If what is happening around you is good, then you're happy. If your marriage is good, if your health is good, if the job is going well, yeah. Normally, if your marriage is failing, health is declining, and if you've lost your job, then you're not happy. If your happenings change, then so does your happiness. So in other words, when I say rejoice in the Lord, and I say you rejoice because He's faithful, what I'm saying is when you lose the job and my happiness walks out the door with my job, I rejoice not because I lost my job, but I rejoice because He is faithful. And the psalmist told us in Psalm 127, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. When my health is failing and doctors don't know what to do, I rejoice not because my health has taken a downward path. I rejoice in the Lord because he is faithful. I rejoice because he who is faithful said in Psalm 103, he healeth all thy diseases. And if the disease is not taken away like I wanted it to be taken away, I still choose to rejoice in the Lord because he is faithful. And he told me at the end of Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee, nor will I ever forsake thee. I choose to rejoice because I know if my health leaves, the writer of Proverbs said to me that if the health leaves, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You may, God help me right now, health may have walked out the door on you, but Jesus never left your side. He's a good God. Even on a bad day, he is faithful. Rejoice, because he's faithful. I read this verse some years ago, and when I read it, like Brother Jerry Dean, we had lunch together today, and boy, he kept saying, man, I heard this message, it tore me up. I heard this, it tore me up. Well, this verse tore me up. The psalmist said, this is the day which the Lord hath made. It never said if the day was perfect, right, great, unbelievable. It just said, I was given this day, and since I've been given this day, I'm going to take what I've been given, and I'm going to rejoice in what I got. God help me. There's a lot of people who didn't wake up this morning who wish to God they'd be in this house tonight. And it may not be right. It may not be perfect. But I made up my mind, this is the day he gave me. So I'm going to rejoice in what God gave me. It may not be perfect, but I rejoice because God is in control. And God knows what he's doing. Now listen, now we're all about deliverance and getting $1,000 checks in the mail and somebody giving us a house, but let me just help you with something right quick. God dealt with these dudes in the Bible. He said, listen, he said, I don't want you cats rejoicing over devils being cast out. I don't want you guys rejoicing because the devil's subject to you. He said in Luke 10:20, but you should rejoice because your names are written in it. I don't want to be morbid, but you hear me. If God never heals you, if God doesn't give you whatever it is you're looking for, hear this preacher. You can go to your grave rejoicing because he is faithful. You can go to your grave knowing my name has been written in the Lamb's book of life. And what matters than God extending your life 10 more years is hearing him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thanks be to God, he is faithful to me. Rejoice because he's faithful to keep you, as the old Gaither song said, from the cradle to the grave. Jude said, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, God's able to do that. Let me just hit on this. I hit a couple weeks ago. Let me hit it again. If you want to be saved, you're going to be saved. Now that's first grade, I get that. But so many folks are afraid of missing heaven. You ain't gonna miss heaven if you're trying to make it to heaven. Hello? You ain't going to miss God if you're looking for him. God ain't playing hide and seek with the church. God ain't playing any, many, mighty, mo with you. It's his will that all be saved. It's his will that all come to repentance. And God, I'm telling you, there is a spirit of fear that will try to get on people and tell them, I'm not good enough. I'm going to be lost. No, you're not. Jude said he's able to keep you from stumbling. He's able to preserve you. Why? Because he's faithful. He loves you. He wants to see you saved. Don't let a spirit of fear walk up in your room and tell you you'll die lost and go, no, you're not going to hell. The only reason he's telling you that is because he knows where he's going, and he's trying his best to convince you, but no, I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been sanctified by the Word of God. Say it again, if you live for God hard, it's easy. If you live for God easy, it's going to be hard. Amen. If you want to be saved, you can be saved. Hello? Amen. Obey the gospel. Amen. God, I don't want to just, I got too much to preach, but I'm telling you, Don't let fear get you wrapped up in some vicious cycle of you're afraid you're going to miss it. No, you're not. Oh, God. All my life I heard the word, it's so easy to be lost. My God, I didn't know it was going to be hard. I know that life's going to give you trials. You're going to fight all kinds of devils. And between us and heaven, there's 1,000 Indians. I get all that. There's lots of devils to defeat. There's lots of devils to fight. But in the meanwhile, folks, I'm telling you, if you're trying to serve God, if you repented, if you were baptized in his name, if you received the Holy Ghost evident speaking in tongues, if you're living a life of sanctification, growth in God, if you're following his word the best you know how, obeying his, I promise you, God will preserve you. God will keep. I'm not preaching, I felt it. I'm not preaching eternal security, but you are eternally secure. If you're obeying the word, God will make sure he gets you to the other side. He is faithful. Amen. Now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, Jude said, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. The psalmist said, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. Here we go. I'll give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them, take them out of my hand. It's like, God, I double dog dare you. Try to take somebody who's doing their dead level best. Try, I dare you, devil, to try to snatch. You can't do it. You can't even touch them. Why? Because like the devil did with Job, there is a hedge around them. There is a hedge of protection. God, I feel it. Hear me, somebody, right now. God has got you protected. And the adversary is trying to get in your mind and in your spirit and tell you, you know, he is a liar. He was a liar when he got kicked out of heaven. He'll be a liar when he's kicked into hell. But you'll be dancing on streets of gold because you made up in your mind, I can't do this by myself, but I know a man who is faithful. I know a God who's on top of everything. Amen. Rejoice because he's faithful. May not be roses, may not be sunshine right now, but I rejoice simply because he's faithful. I rejoice because he told you in Matthew 10, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet God said, not how many? How many? Not one of them falls to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even, huh? Don't make fun of me, but some of you got lots of hair. Even the very hair of your head is number. Ready for 31? It's in your face, devil. So don't be afraid. Don't you know you're worth more than many sparrows? Don't you understand that he's crazy about you? Don't you know that you're his most prized possession? That the scripture says you're the apple of his eye. Don't you know his eyes go to and fro throughout the earth trying to find somebody wholly committed to him? I'm looking at some committed people tonight who the adversaries try to wreck your mind, and the devil's a liar. God is faithful to you. God knows where you are, and God says you're more valuable. Woo. Everyone say rejoice. Because he's faithful. The next phrase that Aunt Sue wrote in my book was, give thanks for he's faithful. Now, we give thanks tonight, like I said, in the rejoicing part, not because all is right in our world. We're not giving thanks because every I is dotted and every T is crossed. We're not giving thanks because it's been the best year of your life. We're not giving thanks because all the kids are living for God. But we are simply obeying the word. In Psalm 107:1, he said, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is good. For his mercy endures forever. If you feel like none of the I's have been dotted this year, if you feel like none of the T's have been crossed this year, he said, go ahead and give God thanks anyways because he's good. If you feel like perhaps it's already been the worst year of your life and we're just 4 months into this new year, the psalmist said, go ahead and give thanks to God because he is good. If none of your kids are serving the Lord tonight and you don't know what's going to happen to them, he said, I encourage you to give thanks anyways, not because you like it, but because he is good. I know it don't make sense, but Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. And in verse 13, he says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. At the end of the chapter in verse 24, Paul says, he who calls you is faithful and he will do it. So I rise to tell you on a Wednesday night, give thanks, for he is faithful. Paul said, whatever you do in word and indeed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Give thanks tonight because he is faithful.
Amen.
Miriam and the ladies, after God has set them free from a Red Sea, they see the hand of God as he takes that water and he pours it back on top of Pharaoh. And the Bible says she picked up a tambourine, and her and the ladies went out and they sung this song of thanksgiving to the one who is faithful. And the Bible says, then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, she took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. She was simply saying, and ladies, let's just give thanks tonight because he's proved himself to be faithful one more time. He didn't bring you this far. God, hear me, somebody, tonight. He didn't bring you this far to let Pharaoh kill you. He didn't bring you this far to let Pharaoh somehow get you right when God's about to get you out of the trouble. I'm telling somebody tonight, I felt it in studying tonight, that you shouldn't even be here. Had the enemy had his way, they'd have had your funeral a long time ago. But look at God, God who is faithful. Look at God who made a way for you. And to think right now in your mind that this could be, it's not the end for you. God's got purpose all over your life. God's got a plan all over your life.
Oh boy. Hear me, somebody. There will be total victory. You hear me? I said, there will be total victory. Not partial,
Because I fought it. I know what it feels like for the adversary to run me down. And God set me what I thought was free, only to feel like I'm bound up again and wondering, God, where are you at? And it feels like I'm surrounded. But you have to understand that God never does anything halfway. You've got to learn to trust the one who is faithful and who is the author. As we preach about Sunday, he is the author and he is the finisher of my faith. He's not sitting here again. I'm telling somebody right now, he's not sitting here playing games with you. But you got purpose on your life, son. Hear this preacher right now. You got purpose on your life, and the devil's trying to kill you before God, help me right now, before God sees through. No, you shall not die, but live. I rebuke the spirit of suicide off of you right now in the name of Jesus. God's hand is on you, and God is faithful. Let's give God praise right now. God, we love you right now, Lord. Yalabakaya soto yalabaya. Hallelujah. I know it's Wednesday. And you think I lost my mind, and I have. I have. About to have a stroke up here. It's hot. But I'm telling you, the enemy will not have the last say in your life. Well, the Lord's trying to talk right now. I said, the devil, I know you think he's done the two-step all over your chest and you feel like you can't even breathe some nights. God, help me, because the pressure is so heavy on you. As a matter of fact, anxiety has got all over you. You find yourself even gasping for air, wondering, does the Lord know? I'm telling you, God knows. It's all a part of the purpose of God. And God's going to prove to you in a few short years, if you'll just stay faithful, God's going to prove to you, I am the God who sees you through all things. I know all things, and you'll look back and you'll, God help me, and you'll preach more people out of hell. You'll help more people out of hell when you realize that God is faithful. God is faithful. Hallelujah. Let's just give thanks right now because he's faithful. Come on, somebody. I don't care if you see the end or not yet. I don't care if all you see is darkness. Why don't we stand right now? Why don't you thank God tonight that he's heard your prayer? Why don't you thank God tonight he's seen every tear you cried? Why don't you thank God tonight he knows where you are? Come on, lay your hand on somebody if it's appropriate. Come on, lay your hand on somebody right now. Pray. Pray, church, right now. I thank you, God. I thank you, God, for every valley. Thank you, God, for every trial. Thank you, God. 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 Clap your hands to him right now. Come on, clap your hands to him right now. God bless you. May be seated. And lastly, she wrote in that note to me, she said, Brad, have faith, for he is faithful. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek after him. We preached about it Sunday, but if you read over in Hebrews, you'll see a different side of Abraham's wife, Sarah. The Bible says at first Sarah doubted at the idea that she could have a baby at the age of 90. But it all changed because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Something changed from the meeting with the three angels until baby Isaac came along. It went from doubt to I believe that God can do this thing. It went from unbelief to I believe God is faithful who promised me. Hear me, someone, I'm telling you right now, if you'll learn to have faith in the midnight hour, if you'll learn to trust God when you can't, I don't care how stupid it looks, how crazy it sounds, if you'll just trust the leading of the Lord, if you'll just trust that God says lots of things that don't make sense right now. Oh, God, help me. Hear me, someone right now. God never gives you a word. God never gives you a promise that makes sense in the here and now. It always makes sense in the future. That's why we trust God that he knows all things, because right now it seems stupid at 89 that Sarah's having a baby. But somewhere in that 9 months, something changed inside of her. And when the baby started kicking, she started believing. When the promise started coming to pass, she started believing. And now she's holding Isaac, and she can say, my God, he really does keep his word. It didn't make sense, but he does keep his word. Hear me, somebody, right now. I don't care how crazy it looks. God's promises are true. Have faith, because he.
He's faithful. The believers were under pressure. In Hebrews chapter 10, in Hebrews 10, 23, the writer said, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told the king when he said, you got to bow, you got to do this. You talk about, and it's, I'm telling you, it's easy to have faith in a 70 degree room and everybody's your friend. Try that in North Korea. Try that in the midst of a country that doesn't believe like you. And they tell you, we're going to kill you lest you bow. We're going to take you out lest you bow. You talk about finding out if you got any faith left. Hello? You'll find out it's a whole lot easier to have faith for a light bill. Now, I've had to have faith for a lot for stuff like that too before, but I'm trying to tell you that when you're faced up with your life and nothing seems to be working, I'm telling you, what's going to keep you in those hours, in those moments, is what you did in private. It's what you put in you when you were a young boy, a young girl, a young saint in God. I always called it, I believe, I could be wrong, it's not Bible, but I believe what you pray today could be reserves for tomorrow. When you pray today and everything's right good, I'm just getting reserve tanks, because there's coming a day when I won't have maybe strength to pray, but I can fall back on some old reserves, and God can lead me through a valley. God can lead me through a trial. And they answered and told that old king, they had faith like you wouldn't believe. They said, our God is able to deliver us, but if he doesn't, don't you be alarmed, king. We're not bowing either way. And the Bible says, hear me, it was their faith that got them a miracle. It was their faith that saw them come through a fire and not smell like smoke. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be your faith that refuses to bow to the adversary that tells you, why don't you quit church? Why don't you leave? Why don't you jump ship? Why don't you give up? Hear me, somebody, I felt it right now. You about gave up on God, but whatever you do, you don't give up on God right now. God's got his hand on you. God's got a purpose. The writer of Lamentations says that it's through the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. He said, great is your faithfulness. Hebrews said that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that's not been seen. Faith equals trusting what you can't see yet. I dare you tonight. I probably shouldn't use that in the pulpit, but I double dog dare you to have faith. Come on, I'm preaching to someone. I know it may just be one of you, but I'm hammering on someone right now. I'm telling you, I dare you to have faith tonight. Not in your ability, but in his ability. You cannot get out of this by yourself. You need another world to come into your life and to give you grace and to give you hope and to give you purpose again and to give you passion again, to give you zeal again. You need God to restore, to rekindle. Paul told Timothy, stir up that gift inside of you. He said, don't let it just be because your mama had it. Don't let it just be because your grandmama had it. But son, you got to get it for yourself. It's got to be something on the inside of you that's reaching, that's pulling you to it. God, help me. That's pulling you to an altar of prayer. That's pulling you back to a first love. There's got to be something in you that says, I dare you just to trust me again. I dare you to have faith again. I know you thought I walked out on you. I know you think I left you, but I didn't leave you. I've been there the entire time waiting on you to have faith again and believe that he who is faithful will not let me fall. He who is faithful will not let me stumble. I have faith again in you, Lord. Lord, we walk by faith, not by sight. My faith doesn't come from this world, but my faith comes from his word. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. David had faith in the one who is faithful. When he faced that giant called Goliath, Peter had faith in the one who is faithful. When he climbed out of a perfectly safe boat onto the raging waves called a sea. Faith is a scary thing. Remember the old song, Faith, Faith, Faith? Just a little bit of faith. That's a cute song, but it's powerful if you get it in your spirit. Because Job lost everything in one day. You talk about losing faith. You talk about wondering, does God even care? Kids are dead. Finances are gone. His wealth is gone. His body is now ate up with boils. He's in a bind. And faith came out of that man's mouth and said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I felt this several times. You hear me, someone, tonight. God doesn't work for you. God may not do everything just like you think he should do it for you, but we don't command, we don't demand God. We just trust God, that God is faithful, that God will work it out in his own time, in his own plan. Anybody besides me ever been dumb and told the Lord, I give you by this time tomorrow, and the answer didn't come by that time tomorrow, and then you say, well, perhaps God was asleep. I'll pray again. I'll give you 2 weeks, God. Hello? And 6 months later, when you weren't even thinking about it, the answer came. What was that? That was God trying to teach you, hey, you ain't God. You don't know it all. I know you think you got it figured out, but you ain't got it figured out. I told you, and I feel this is my last note, and I'm done. But how I have seen personally in my life, maybe for you is different, but when God's answered prayer for me, when God has done things for me, I'm telling you, I understand now, like, I've wanted God at times, Brother Martinez, to give me whatever. If I needed something for over here for finance, God, give me this by tomorrow or this time next week, and God would wait 9 months, and I realized, had he gave it to me then, I ain't too sure I wouldn't have spent the money. Come on, honest people. Man, I told you, me and Jathan, I'm not lying, we owed money on taxes years ago. We didn't do anything bad. It was just crazy. I was stressed out, prayed for months. Oh, God, please help, deliver, set free. It's your servant bread. Right, anybody? Now, I know all of you pray one time and God answers the first time, but not for me. I beg God sometimes. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. It's old Jerry Clyer joke, in case you didn't know. Playing basketball in the front yard, I told you, I'm a Spurs fan, and I have no mercy on Jathan playing basketball because he needs to learn who daddy is, right? So I was just crucifying the kid playing basketball. Now I'm telling you, I wasn't praying, wasn't seeking God for money. I didn't pray that 1,000 times. I don't know how many times I prayed that prayer.
I need money. I need money. I need this. I need this. Whatever. And the Lord is my witness. As I backed him down in the paint, and the man drove by with a hay bale and a strap, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, stay where you are. When he comes back by, he'll have some money for you. And I thought, well, I'll play basketball to dark. I'll do whatever it takes, God. We'll just play ball all day long. I'm not lying. 30 minutes or so later, he came back by. Howard Young is his name. And I saw his tractor stop in front of that single wide trailer over there. And I thought, oh, man, God's still talking, I guess. Just couldn't believe God would tell me something like that, you know. And here he comes up, good old cowboy, welder, works hard, sun up, sun down every day. And I noticed he had that envelope in his pocket. I thought, good God, God's unanswered prayer. He got something in his pocket. And he looked at me and said, preacher, he said, God's been mighty good to me. I said, yeah, that's great. I need him to be good to me right now. Help me out. No, I didn't say that. I'm lying. I didn't say that. And he pulled out that envelope, and there was $3,100 bills in there. And I thought, here we go again. He's faithful. When I didn't know he was coming through, when I put, God, I need this money tomorrow. I need it next week. I'm not even this money. I need this answer to prayer. And God said, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm going to be faithful to you. You just stay faithful to me. Remember, class, it's all about relationship. You married him when you obeyed the gospel. Remember I told you last Wednesday night? You spend time with him, his thoughts become your thoughts. You read his word enough, all of a sudden you don't have the answer. His word springs up in your heart. What is that? That's relationship. Because this is a living book. It is alive. When you open this book, it's the only book in the world that's a living organism. That's it. It's the only book in the entire world that when you open it up and you speak life with faith, something has to happen. So I'm going to encourage you as we stand tonight. I'm going to encourage you. I beg of you, don't jump ship. Remain faithful to God. Don't quit. Don't stop. Believe me, we all have days we want to stop. Hello? I had a situation, and can I be honest? Y'all like, I was praying Sunday night in the prayer room, and enemy just trying to fight with this and fight with that and fight my mind, and my flesh said, well, just stop praying about it. Or the devil, whoever you want to say. I mean, I don't know, Sister Formby. She told me she fights the devil every day, so maybe it's the devil. I don't know. I fight him every day too, I guess. I don't know. But maybe he was fighting me, maybe it was my mind. I don't know. But I remember thinking, this is running me crazy. And I looked through that 5-inch, 6-inch slat of glass in that door in there, and all I saw, it looked like it was seated on top of that table, but all I saw was the first two words of the Don't Stop Praying sign, and all I saw was, don't stop! And I thought, hey, he's speaking through signs. And he would let me know, listen, son, you don't need to quit now. Don't give up now. Don't stop praying about this now. Don't stop. I know it ain't answered yet, but keep on praying. It's going to be answered after a while. Woo. Let's all pray. Lord, we love you tonight, God. Thank you for your goodness. Help us, Holy Ghost, to remain faithful to you, God, because you